Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gujarat Pipavav Port Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Spark Capital Advisors (India) Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bharanidhar Vijayakumar from Spark Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for logging in to the 1Q FY23 earnings call of Gujarat Pipavav Port. From the company we have Mr. Jakob Sorensen, Managing Director, and Mr. Santosh Breed, Chief Financial Officer. Without further ado, over to Mr. Sorensen, sir, for initial remarks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everybody on the call. We've just had the board meeting, as you know, and also finalized our AGM for the year 2021-2022. Then we presented the numbers for Pipavav Port here for Q1 for the calendar for the financial year of 2022-2023. I just wanna say to begin with that, when you're looking at comparisons with a similar quarter last year, obviously that comparison will not make a lot of sense to you because that was the quarter where we had the cyclone. Looking at the trends and looking at how we are performing, if you're looking at the last quarter of 2021-2022, compared to this first quarter, then we are on an upwards trend. Volumes are month-on-month looking very good when it comes to containers, and also we can comment later on the volume developments. We are satisfied with the results that we have presented and also with the outlook and the volumes that we are seeing coming our way. Santosh, I don't know if you have something to add on this.
Yeah. Thanks, Jakob. Let me just quickly give you an overview of the financial number. As Jakob mentioned, the previous year numbers are not directly comparable, so we'll focus on the previous quarter number. To start with the operating income, the total operating income was at INR 2,081 million and was lower by 6% as compared to the previous quarter. This was mainly due to our dry bulk volume. As you remember, in the previous quarter, we had a good support from our minerals volume, which was imported by a few customers to stock their supplies. That's why when you compare on the quarter-on-quarter, then there's a reduction in the dry bulk. The container volumes were higher by 14%. Our exim volumes have grown by 5% quarter-on-quarter. Then we also have transshipment volumes, so we have a new service which has been added carrying the transshipment volume for us. That's one of the reasons why we see a good improvement in the volumes during the current quarter. Liquid volumes continue to be about 200,000 metric tons. That's the consistent run rate which has been maintained now for last three quarters, and we expect that to continue in the coming quarter as well. Total expenses were at 949 million and were higher by 3% as compared to the previous quarter. This was mainly driven by the operating expenses. Operating expenses in fact were lower as compared to the previous quarter. This was due to the dry bulk volume being lower. The increase came mainly from the employee benefit and the other expenses. The employee benefit includes annual salary increase of average 9%. In the previous quarter, we had some provision reversal due to the retirement benefits valuation. We do our actual valuation as per the accounting requirement at the year-end, and that has resulted in some reversal. That's why when you compare quarter-on-quarter, then you see a 14% increase in the employee benefits. Other expense also were higher. This is mainly due to the increase in the fuel expenses. The fuel rate has been up. Also some one-off which we had on account of the insurance cost. EBITDA at 1,132 million is lower by 12%, and the margin was at 54%, lower by 400 basis points. The net profit at around 575 million. This includes a cyclone-related restoration cost of INR 125 million, which has been shown as exceptional item in the P&L. And if we exclude this exceptional adjustment for cyclone, then the net profit will be at INR 668 million for the current quarter as compared to 689 million in the previous quarter. So in the previous quarter, we had some recovery from our insurance claim. So that's why, that was the reason why the exceptional item was negative in that quarter. And if we exclude all these adjustments, then the reports, the net profits has been almost flat. So that's the overview of the financial results. I know we are happy to take the questions now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Congratulations on a very, very good set of numbers. So my first question is, in the annual report, you alluded to the fact that we had a very bad year as far as container is concerned, and this is primarily on account of congestion at the port and the ships skipping calls. Has the situation improved dramatically in the Q1, and can we expect, go back to a 520 numbers of container, which used to be 820K TUs?
Yeah, so I think we are seeing a slight ease up on the skip calls. And for that matter, I think also we can say that on the global basis, the container market is easing up. The rates indication is that the rates are falling. And the waiting time in Europe and U.S. is also going down. And that has directly been manifested in our container volumes. So, in fact, if you're looking at our monthly reportings, I'm very happy to say that we have now 7 months in a row where months on months the container volumes are slightly climbing upwards. And even here now, we have the numbers for the month of July. That trend continues. So this is, of course, the grounds for encouragement for us, because it means that we are seeing shipping lines are delivering according to our agreements with them, and it's a good trend.
Okay, so my second question is, the last year the bulk was a very high number, and one of the primary reasons was UltraTech, right? I think we did around 4.1 million tons. Do you expect to repeat that number or better that number in this fiscal, given the knowledge we have right now?
I think we definitely were very happy to be able to help out UltraTech following that they had some damages done by the cyclone. And we've had an extremely healthy cooperation on both import and export of commodities for UltraTech, for their cement manufacturing and export as well. They are now starting to take back some volume because their own jetty is back in operations, but it's not a full-fledged transfer. And in fact, we are discussing with them. There are some synergies and some benefits of also on mutual kinds, where we will see some of their volume continue with GPPL as well. But that is to be seen. And we're of course looking at all the opportunities to retain that volume. At the same time, I would add to that we were very happy to find our first export of bulk guar gum that went out in the month of June. And that means it's a new avenue for bulk business. We have not done export before, but now, given, as you know, the Russian war in Ukraine and the international market for food stuff and so on, it seems to be an opportunity where India will export different commodities.
in that market segment. And we are doing a lot of efforts to be catering for that new opportunity.
And just to add, we continue to add new customers even for our main commodities, so whether it's coal or fertilizer. And then we are adding commodities. So as Jakob mentioned, that we did a export of the agri commodity gorgon, and then we also have handled some wood pulp in the last few quarters. So with this addition of new customers and new commodities, we are quite optimistic about the volumes from dry bulk as well.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, a very good evening, Jakob and Santosh. My first question is on the transshipment volumes that we alluded to. So if you can give a little more detail on the on the liner, where we have added the volume. For what period is the current visibility that we have on these volumes? And any indication on the contribution of such transshipment volume during the quarter?
Yeah, so it's a service from Maersk Line, and it's a little bit a spillover effect on the uncertainties that you will observe in Colombo. We expect that this will remain at least for the rest of the calendar year. As we've said before, transshipment is not really our core business, and the margins for transshipment volume is smaller than for Exim, but it helps to cover costs. And I think as well, even if you take out these transshipment volume, it's not a big number of containers. Our growth in containers is still happening month on month, both for Exim and export and import. So it's not really, a big thing, but it means anyway that we can help out some of our customers to do this transshipment when we have this geopolitical issues and sad things that are happening in Sri Lanka.
Sure. So just to dwell a little further on this, my question basically arose from the point that while we have seen a good quarter-on-quarter improvement in the container volumes, the ICD volumes have been flat. So from the fourth quarter to the first quarter, we have not seen any pickup in the ICD volumes, the rail volumes. So is there a change in the mix where, there is more container coming from the nearby vicinity by road, or, the incremental push is largely because of transshipment? How to look at it is what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, so there is an incremental push, even if we take out the transshipment volumes. And as I have been saying many, many times, we still believe that the DFC and the movement by rail is a game changer and a big opportunity. But it's taking a bit longer to materialize. As you know, we've added a train from Morbi with export of commodities from that area. But from the northern market as well, we want to keep on pushing the benefits of the DFC. And Pipavav is really the pioneer here. We are the first Indian ports with electrified double-stack trains. And I think it just takes a little bit of more effort, and it'll take longer time for our commercial team to continue to convince customers to take more advantage of the rail connectivity that we have. And then maybe as a blessing in disguise, I'm happy to say that the road connectivity to people is improving, and the roads, the Babnagar road, for example, or the road from Diu and from Rajkot, the roads are in a better condition. And that, of course, is also encouraging. But our target market is still the northwestern markets, which is more conducive by rail.
And Ashish, if you see, of course, the numbers for the earlier quarters, so I agree with you that quarter-on-quarter is Q4, FY22, and FY23 are same on the ICD. But it has improved as compared to the earlier quarter. And we see that improvement happening on month-on-month basis now, because as things are improving on the DFC, we see more volumes coming in.
Sure. Would you have, Santosh, that this is in the past we have given this kind of number, what would be the Exim YOY growth? I mean, in the total numbers that we've reported, what's the YOY growth in Exim? so that to give us a better sense of the growth which is happening in the exit part.
Let me come back to you on that, Ashish. So on the, I have the number for the quarter and quarter, which is 5%. But let me come back to you on the Y&Y growth.
5%
quarter-on-quarter. So when we look at the year-on-year, so same quarter, if you look at the same quarter last year, the reason we're not really focusing on that number right now is a comparable, because last year we were hit by cyclone in month of May, and we had disruption in the operation for almost for a month. So that's why that's not a right comparison, but I can, of course, share with you that percentage increase.
No, they should be okay, actually. 5% quarter-on-quarter is good. That's fine. Also, just last one from my side on the, could you just give us any update on the capex plans that we have? Last time, I think there was some discussion around the fact that we may not necessarily wait for clarity on the concession extension to start the capex plans, and we may actually decide to go ahead pending that clarification. So any thoughts on that that you want to share?
A lot of thoughts about that, but I would say at this point in time, it's not something we are ready yet to come out and share. But we are looking at that additional investment opportunities beyond, rightfully, as you said, we were talking about upgrading our crane capabilities with new cranes that we wanted to do on a condition that we got the concession extension. I don't think that that's the only opportunity we are looking at, and we are probably not going to make further conditions, but we are still not ready to share specifically what we're working on in terms of the investments and capital expenditures.
So actually, just to add to this, as Jakob mentioned, right, we are looking at opportunities, and it will certainly not limit us from investing because of the concession coming to an end. So we will certainly invest further after the business requirement.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for your answers, sir.
And I would say that goes, just to elaborate on that, it's not only in the container business that we're looking, but we're looking at all our business verticals. And I think there's opportunities I mentioned before. For example, given the global conditions now, India starts to export grain. And in order to accommodate that, there's no doubt that we are looking into expanding our warehousing facilities.
Right. Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So my first question is regarding this LPG terminal expansion that you had planned, I mean, to make it be able to accommodate VLGCs. So how far are we on that? I mean, potentially when can we see its commissioning? And if you can give a broad idea that how much incremental volumes, let's say on liquids, that you expect to achieve out of this?
Yeah, so on the VLGC, so the work is already in progress, and we expect somewhere mid of September things to complete and to commission the VLGC operation. So that's the estimate what we have now. In terms of volume growth, of course with the very large gas carrier coming in, we do expect a volume increase. But this is a mix of one on the waterfall operation and the second on the land side, because the evacuation of the cargo also depends on the storage facilities on the land side. So we are working with our tankform operators how we can get best efficient operation done and handle maximum volume on the waterfront. So at this point of time, I'm not probably able to give you a number on what increase we are looking at. But certainly, we look for incremental volumes, especially on LPG.
Yeah, and I think reason why Santosh is a bit hesitant on this question is, as well, while we, of course, still is in the monsoon season here, we have finished some of the superstructure work and dredging and other things, but we're still working on firefighting equipment, and we need also the environmental
or safety clearances for us to commission the VLGC. So depending on that timing, that obviously will have an impact on the volumes that we expect to see in the rest of this year.
But would it be fair to say that it should be a significant ramp up in the liquid volumes once it happens? So you are not quantifying, I understand that. But today
yeah.
you are doing something like a 0.2 to 0.25 million tons per quarter. So there should be a significant growth from that. Would it be a right assessment?
I think it will be fair to say that we are equally, as you put it, optimistic on this year.
Okay. And so one more question from my side. Like in the past, I recall that we were highlighting about that this PPA of rail, that probably with the DFC opportunity opening up, maybe converting it into a full-fledged container train operations covering to the very end markets. So
yeah.
where are we at this moment with regards to its marketing activities? And what sort of, let's say, volume benefits do we expect at the port because of these activities? If you can
yeah.
give some color on that.
So, of course, we are minority shareholder at PRCL, but it's a really good capability that we have access to there in terms of, as you point out yourself, container train operations, not only the rail operation, but also the container train operation. And PRCL is in the market to get more rakes. And this is definitely, again, linked to the opportunities that we see in connection with the DFC. We are marketing this full speed ahead. And, in fact, we just opened our office in New Delhi in the very same office building as the PRCL office, just to be very near to them. And, again, cooperation is going very well. We are optimistic about the opportunities and so on. The volume number is still a commitment that I think is difficult to say at this time, and it will take more efforts and more marketing and convincing to take full advantage of. But I'm absolutely convinced that it's a very strong value proposition for our customers.
So what I meant was, what is like the feedback from your customers that you are marketing, let's say? So how enthusiastic are they about the value proposition?
Yeah, I think they're very excited because what we are really illustrating here is that this container train operation business is not just a state operation monopoly, but that there's definitely CTOs out there, and it's a very competitive segment. So our customers, which will be shipping lines, and also our partners, which will be ICD operators in the north, are all very excited about this.
As a last question from my side, so this is coming from the annual report. I see that there is a significant dip in the on a percentage basis, of course, from in terms of revenues from the parent. So was there any loss of volumes from the parent or some diversions in the past year, like FY22? And how do you see this year pan out with respect to the parent volumes?
As we mentioned, I think in the earlier call, so what we experienced because of global supply chain disruption, all the shipping lines have done adjustment to their network. And with that adjustment, trying to focus more on the Asia, Europe, and Asia, US trade lane, there has been adjustment to the vessel calls at other ports. And that's why we have seen skip calls at our port. And that is one of the primary reasons why you see this variation in the volume. Having said this, we have not lost any service. It is more of the temporary adjustment done by the shipping line, including the parent. And we are seeing it getting gradually back to normal. So we are very optimistic on the volumes, even from the parent in this year.
Yeah, on top of that, as we mentioned earlier, we have, in fact, got another transshipment service from Maersk. So we have full cooperation there. But if you notice in the press, the parent is also announcing some very, very good financial results. And some of the reasons for this is that they have sought out the best segments of the market, as Santosh was explaining earlier. And that means that they have focused on the Trans-Pacific and the Asia to Europe. And we have probably here and people have suffered a little bit from that choice, but which was obviously driven by the economics and the outlook that they saw.
So they've taken an opportunity, but I think that we despite of that, we see that the volumes are coming back and the situation is normalizing on the international container market, and the global freight rates are coming down.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Barneer Vijay Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Vijay Kumar, can you please unmute your phone and go ahead with your question?
Sure. Yes. So this is coming from the annual report where a lot of discussion around benefits of the DFC to the port. And an overarching argument given is that the efficiency gain needs to be passed on to reduce the cost for the ports and the value chain to benefit significantly. So do you see this happening? When is it likely to happen?
When you're talking about the cost of the DFC, then of course it's a railway tariff. And I can assure you that I'm not wasting any opportunity to call on the Indian Railways to adjust their tariff so that the market can take full benefits of this massive, massive infrastructure investment. There is no doubt some different opinions of that within the railways and as well politically. But we are definitely pushing for all the stakeholders to understand the benefit to the society from reducing the train freight rates and inducing cargo to move by rail on the DFC rather than by road, because there's an absolute obvious opportunity here for India to become more competitive, and that means that the cost reduction has to be given back to the market so that the market will take full benefit of it.
Sure. So do you see that happening in this year, or is it going to take more time?
I would think that it would be really smart of the Indian Railways to do so. And as I said, we are saying that continuously. India is doing quite well, but there may be a recession looming out there in U.S. and Europe and so on. And I think it will be a good opportunity for India to become more competitive, reduce the overall logistics cost by reducing the rail tariff. That's one thing. But the other thing is that, of course, when you are moving cargo by truck, then you are burning diesel oil. All that diesel oil is imported, whereas if we're moving it by rail, it's a considerably lower cost of transport, and we are moving cargo by electric trains and so on. So those benefits, of course, they're not directly in our power, but I do believe that the arguments are so compelling that all the influencers and stakeholders understand that. So answering your question, will it happen? I think there will be some adjustments to this because it just makes complete economic sense to do so, but I can't tell you when it's going to be successful.
Sure. So my next question is on the CAPEX plans. Though you said that it would not be dependent on the concession agreement getting extended, again, the annual report's tone seemed to suggest that we would rather wait before the concession agreements getting extended than committing CAPEX. So what is the status of this concession agreement getting extended? Where is it at?
I think the two things go hand in hand. The communication that we're having with GMB is conducive, and in fact, we know that GMB is delivering on a recommendation for a policy for the private-public partnership port corporation. And of course, what they do with us in GPPL will be a precedent for other ports in Gujarat. So there is work going on there, and I'm hoping that despite elections and other things that we could see something happening here before the end of the year. And then at the same time, internally, we are working on various investment proposals, which we will take through our board and get the internal backup for. And it is because we are working on all of these things that we are not yet ready to go public on this, because we do need to get the internal approvals in order before we can start communicating about this. But at the same time, we are definitely clearly saying that we are committed to investments in Pipavav, also in the remaining 5 years of the concession,
So we are not putting any sort of an ultimatum or pressure on GMB in that regard. I think there's so many business opportunities that in themselves over the next 5 years will be compelling enough for us to say that we should invest, irrespective of whether there's an extension or not from 2028.
Sure. So just for clarity's sake, what is the hypothetical scenario when the concession doesn't get extended? So what happens then?
Okay, so there's kind of like a process of assessing the performance of the incumbent, and in this case, of course, it'll be us in GPPL. So GMB will assess whether they are happy with the performance we have delivered so far, and that will be a structured, calculated effort, but it'll be in terms of our investments, it'll be in terms of our volume, it'll be in terms of our value creation for society. And that structure is being recommended to GMB by an international consultant based on their study, both internationally and locally, and also vis-a-vis rules and regulations in India. So that process then becomes a binary. Is the incumbent somebody we want to continue? Yes, no. So if the question is, if the answer to that question is yes, then we expect that it'll be a negotiation of the rollover of terms and conditions in our concession. If the incumbent is performing unsatisfactory, then GMB has two options. Then GMB can say, we take the port over ourselves, or they can say, we will let this port concession go out to public tender. So that's sort of the mechanism we are operating in, and to our best understanding, we are performing satisfactory to GMB's requirements, and we will roll this into a discussion about the extension of the concession.
So that's encouraging. But what would be the conditions? Like, would there be some new royalties levied or one-time payment for the concession extension in your sense?
That's the million-dollar question. So that we don't know. When we get to the table, we will come with us a number of business expansions, a number of investment plans, and a number of we will in fact come with a whole new master plan for the port, and that would be our starting point for the negotiations with GMB. And then of course they will have some expectations as well for what they want us to deliver in the coming period. And I think the parties will then find a mutual way of finding a win-win solution to that.
Great, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on the setup numbers. I wanted to ask you, earlier in the last quarter, you told us that we have taken a 5% tariff hike to the container customers, and we will take another 5% hike to all the other customers in June. So have we done that in June?
So I think what we mentioned was, of course, we have taken tariff increase, and which was around 6% on the tariff. And then what you mentioned that we are working with all our customers, because there are contracts which have been made, and we are working gradually with all the customers to pass on this entire increase to all our customers. So that was a gradual process, and we have now completed that, and increase has been passed on to all the customers.
So to all the customers, the average tariff hike would be 6%, right?
That's right. It's contract to contract, so on average it will be in that range. Yes.
Okay, no problem. So I also wanted to know, what is the profit for PRCL in this quarter? And once we start getting the full tariff benefit, what will be the projected profit for it?
I don't know if we can comment on the PRCL profit, right? Because we are minority shareholder there. But PRCL being the majority shareholding being Western Railways, so some sources, is something we can share there?
Yes, certainly. So looking at their future profits, so we
are in discussion with PRCL. So as you know, for PRCL, the revenue allocation and the cost allocation comes from railways. So right now they are not getting the full benefit of the electrification of the infrastructure. And that's what is work in progress with the railways. So that will happen, and once that happens, then that will be a good benefit to PRCL in terms of reducing their costs.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then of course for the current quarter, the profit is around 47 million INR, and this is because of some additional cost allocations of some arrears which are allocated to them for railways, by railways, right? And again, as I mentioned, this does not include the benefit of the electrification. So they still get the fuel cost allocated to them, and that's what they are working on to get this resolved with railways.
We expect that the investment that has been made already, electrifying the entire track, is going to give us some future benefits on the operating cost, because the electricity is much cheaper than the diesel. So that's not yet to be seen in the accounts of PRCL, but that is because of the railways being a bit slow in making that trickle down.
Yeah, and Nikhil, just to add, I mean, we also mentioned about this in the earlier quarter. So PRCL has also started a new business stream of the container train operations, and they are working on increasing the number of rigs. So they are leasing and also looking at purchasing rigs. So with that, we also expect that revenue to go up in the coming quarters. So we will see a different or improved number for the PRCL financial as well.
Understood. Okay, and just one last question. ATN Kearney was appointed as the consultant for the concession agreement report to be submitted to GMB. So has the consultant submitted its report till now?
Yeah, so that was what I was explaining to the previous caller, that we understand that that process has been recommended, but it's probably a little bit of a back and forth between now the AT Kearney entity and various stakeholders within GMB on clarifications, and I don't think that we can confirm, at least I have not heard that AT Kearney has now delivered the final version of their proposal.
Okay. Understood. That's all from me.
But there's a handover process here where I think I know that GMB says thank you very much, very good. And on this item here, can you elaborate how have you come to this recommendation? And on this item here, what would be the mechanism and so forth? So that of course is between AT Kearney and their client. And I think that's a good process, because that will really acid test the proposal itself. And as I mentioned, that proposal will become the guiding policy for future concession extensions. So it's a good, solid piece of work that's being done here, and we expect, hopefully before the elections in Gujarat, we expect to come to the table and discuss this directly with GMB.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That was very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varneer Vijay Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. So could you give the split of the dry bulk volume between coal, minerals?
Yeah, certainly. So on the dry bulk, then we have done 429,000 metric ton this quarter. Fertilizers is 339,000 metric ton, and others, this includes mainly minerals and some agri commodities, which is 163,000 metric ton. And you can also, of course, the presentation is there, and these details are also available in our presentation, which has been uploaded on our website as well as the stock exchange.
Sure. Could you highlight the realizations for the containers and for the dry bulk, sir, and how it has moved up?
So container, we continue to maintain a range of around 6,900 to 7,200 per TU realization. And same thing on the bulk as well. So the realizations have been maintained, so it continues to be 450 to 550 rupees per metric ton for the dry bulk.
Sure. Could you highlight the fixed cost nature of our business and how even though the costs across our inflation has been raging, we were able to still maintain about 54-55% EBITDA margins. So could you highlight how it's playing out for you, the costs, and how we are able to manage the margins?
So there are two things here. One, of course, is when you look at our container business, it comes at almost 60-70% of the cost aspects, because we had a very heavy investment on the infrastructure on the container business side. So any incremental volumes, even with a lower realization, like what you mentioned about transshipment, does help us to add that to the EBITDA number, and that's why it helps us to improve the margin. Apart from that, there are a lot of cost initiatives which we are working on internally on a continuous basis. So there are various programs being rolled out right up to the front-end employee as well to bring in efficiencies in the operations. And that has always helped us to keep on improving our processes and to get to that, through that efficiencies and control our costs. So that will be a continued process going forward as well. And with now container volume gradually improving for Exim as well, then we are quite hopeful of maintaining and in fact improving these margins.
Yeah, and similarly on the bulk volumes, the variable costs are quite high and they are following basically linear to the or parallel to the volume. Then the operational costs are per ton. And so that means if the volume spikes, then we have higher costs. But if the volume goes down, we are equally flexible and we can reduce costs.
Yeah, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. I missed out on this question the last time. So we have got an exceptional item of 125 million rupees. So if I have to put it properly, we have already received 300 million from the insurer, and we had booked around 45 million in the last fiscal itself as an exceptional item. So this 125 is over and above that 46 million, right? And
Yes, certainly. So you're right. So this, as we mentioned our also earlier calls, we are in a process of restoration from cyclone. The main restoration was completed much earlier to ensure there is no impact on the operations. So we are back to operation very fast. But then there are some additional damages to the bund which need to be put in place, which is now the work in progress. And what you see here as the exceptional cost goes as a claim to the insurance company, and then we will recover this in the future quarters.
Okay. That's all. That's the problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. One question from my side. So, sir, in the event, let's say the concession is not extended, I mean, in a, let's say, worst-case scenario, so what is the nature of, let's say, terminal payments that the company can get, probably?
So, Priyankar, of course, we will not able to quantify that, but I can just share with you one of the terms of our concession agreement. So it speaks about a depreciated replacement value to be paid to the operator for taking over the assets. And when we say depreciated replacement value, the word replacement becomes important here because the valuation will be done on what is the replacement cost of those assets on the day of the end of the concession. And of course, with the inflation and rising costs what we have, the replacement cost will be much higher than what we had purchased the asset for. And that higher value will get depreciated over the actual use of the asset, and that value will get paid to the operator. So that's how the clause has been defined. But it's not easy to really quantify that at this point of time because it's, of course, the future valuation date, right? So that's what we have right now.
So I think what Santosh is implying here is that with the rise in inflation, with import of steel and stuff like that, then it looks like the depreciated inflation cost will be quite substantial. It will be hard to replace these assets here with a market, or let me say it will be expensive to get the assets replaced given that expected market price.
So if I understand rightly, so there would be a, let's say, a joint assessment by both you and probably GMB to arrive at a valuation at that point of time if such an event happens.
That's right. But as I said, the valuation will be based on the replacement of the asset. So that is very clearly defined in the concession agreement.
Okay, sir. So that's all from my side.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the floor back to the management for closing comments.
Right. Thank you very much for all the interest and for the good questions here for this quarterly result. I think recapping here, we've put the cyclone behind us, and now we take actually some of the, say, benefits, if I can use that expression, of the cyclone, because we have replaced a lot of the assets. We've repaired our warehouses, and we've got a port that is, let's say, we caught up on maintenance following the cyclone. So, in fact, today, I'm very happy that we had the annual general meeting also in the port, and the shareholders could see how the port is standing as almost new in terms of maintenance and appearance. The volumes, as mentioned again, we have had months and months consecutive increments in the container volumes, and we think the skip calls and the challenges we've gone through on the international container market is starting to ease out, and it's looking better. We still sit on a tremendous opportunity on taking full advantage of the DFC. And while all this is happening, then on the bulk, liquid as well as dry bulk, we've done very satisfactory business, and we started as a new activity export of foodstuff from India. So we are appreciative of all your interest, and we are certainly optimistic about the future going forward.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Spark Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.